Thank you. I want to talk about spiritual stability. Because we want to be stable. We don't want to be all over the map, do we? We don't want a testimony where we're up and down and off again and on again. Those are good for roller coasters. That's not very good for testimony. That's not good, you know. Be still. Have you ever tried to read in the car? What do you happen if you try to read in the car and it's a rough road? Oh man. You get dizzy, get sick, lose your equilibrium. You know, some people, we know this precious gentleman. That's one of the things he's kind of known for. He has this inner ear thing. And he looks drunk. He probably hasn't had a drink in his life, at least not in his Christian life, but he looks that way. Because he doesn't have a good balance. We want stability in our life. We want spiritual stability. And I want to say this about stability. Stability is not the absence of adversity. Don't go looking for a way that you don't have to deal with difficulty. That's not going to make you stable. If you find the easiest way without any problems, then you'll be stable. Wrong. Stability is not the absence of adversity. It is the ability to remain steady in the storm. That's when you know how stable a ship is. Any boat can float in the lake. But only certain vessels are made to go out there into the deep and deal with the waves that can happen out there. Storms will come. Can you turn off that lower, hit the lower light out there, Ruth, so they can, just to make sure we don't bleed out all the light on our slide? How would you like to be on that boat? Some of you have been in situations like that, haven't you? Those of you who've been in the Navy or the Marines or been transported, you've been there. You've been out there. You know, how do you make a vessel stable? Okay, how do you make a vessel stable? Because there's something to learn from that. Next slide, if you will. Ruth. Huh?
The bottomless.
Next slide, Ruth. All right, thank you. Will you create a stable center of gravity? What is gravity? Gravity is that thing that holds us down, keeps us on a firm footing. You have to create a stable center of gravity. Now, on this next slide, I have a picture of an aircraft carrier. Okay? Where is the center of gravity on this ship? Where is it?
The middle, under the water.
Ah, next slide. Joe gets the prize for today. The center of gravity is below the waterline. We read a parable one time, my wife read it, she probably can remember, about this guy who came. I don't think it's a parable, it's a real story up in the Northeast. Is it a real story, Dina?
It's a true story.
It's a true story. This guy spent thousands and thousands on his yacht. And he had the fanciest deck, he had the fanciest cabin, he had the fanciest rooms, he had lounges, he had everything. He spent very little on the lower part of his boat. And he went out, and the water was a little rough that day. Guess what boat did not come back? His was the only boat that didn't make it back. Because he didn't concentrate on the part no one else saw. The most important part to keep a ship steady is the ballast. This ballast is weight. Weight in the bottom. You remember these toys growing up, guys? What would happen? That's right. You remember what do they call these toys? Bounce back. You see, if you and I have the right spiritual weight, spiritual balance, we're going to come right back up. Just like a ship. If a ship has the right kind of balance, it can be rocked. The waves will push it one way, but it will right itself. Because the weight underneath the center of gravity is stronger from within than the forces that are acting from without. So with the right spiritual center of gravity, you won't be capsized. Okay? That's the idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're a vessel. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And we are struck down, but we're not destroyed. You see it? Back up, because we have a treasure in this earthen vessel. What is that treasure? What is it? That treasure is the excellency of the power of Christ in us.
Amen.
His presence in us is this excellent power to keep us from capsizing, to right ourselves by His help. Now, is that power automatic? What do you think? Did it just happen? No. Here's why we know it's not automatic. Paul let the Ephesian church know in Ephesians chapter 3, he let them know what he was praying. And his prayer will let us know that this power, this dynamic spiritual ballast in our inner man is not automatic. It must be developed by the help of God. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Now would Paul be praying for something that was already automatic? No. He knew, he was writing to Christians telling them, he was praying for them that they would experience this. That they would experience personally being strengthened with power through Christ's Spirit in the inner man. And notice something. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ dwelling in our hearts has something to do with faith? Oh yeah. And the Spirit helps us in this aspect of faith so that Christ's presence can dwell in our hearts in a way that is not automatic. James chapter 1. James said this, "My brethren, count it all joy whenever you fall into various trials." Nick, there you go. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So do you see this is a process learned through patience? People joke about this, praying for patience. What does praying for patience guarantee you? Difficulties?
Trials.
Okay, yeah. Okay, because anyone, oh Lord, please strengthen me to endure Hawaii. You know, 72 degrees all the time. No. But it goes on, James goes on to say, if any of you lack wisdom, because that's what happens, we find ourselves in situations where we do not know what to do. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Wow. You mean an unstable person may not receive something from the Lord? Ooh, that's what James is saying. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded is actually comes from the Greek word two souls. Two souls. I have the feeling it's this, it's almost like two lives, split personality. When everything's calm, it's like, oh Lord, you're wonderful and thank you, and we love you. And when things are difficult, it's, where are you, God? This is horrible. Isn't that a split personality? How many spiritual schizophrenics do we have? Isn't God present in the difficulty and in the good times? Isn't he right there? We're to count it all joy even when we face trials of various kinds. And if we lack wisdom, let's ask God. He's going to give us wisdom. But let's not doubt. Because doubting is going to make us spiritually schizophrenic. And it's hard to give a schizophrenic person any kind of calm reassurance. It's just hard. Their lack of faith makes it that way. You see, lack of faith is like sailing a ship with insufficient ballast. It doesn't have enough weight to make it a good center of gravity. Okay, let's make an application. Unless Jesus Christ is fully formed in us. Did you realize that Christ coming into you does not equate that he's fully formed in you? What the Bible says. Jesus can be in you and yet not fully formed in you. I'll show you from a scripture in a minute. Because if Jesus is not fully formed in us, we will lose our spiritual center of gravity. I was a physical therapist. I worked as a physical therapy aide. And our job was to get patients up right after surgery or help them. And oftentimes, right after surgery, if they had been laying down for a while, when they get up at first, some of you have experienced this. What are you at first? Lightheaded, you're dizzy. So they would give us a belt. And where would we put that belt? Right around the center. And we would hold on to that belt. Because if they toppled a little bit, our job was just don't let them get too far beyond center of gravity. We were the steadying. And Christ is like that. He's got us. If he's fully formed in us, he can keep us over our spiritual center of gravity if he's fully formed. Okay? I'll show you from a verse later on here this morning that that's not automatic. Christ being fully formed in us is not automatic either. Okay? But let's talk about what being filled with faith is. Filled with faith is being filled with Jesus. Okay? They're correlated. So if you're weak in faith, will you be filled with Jesus? You don't want to answer it? Do we not want to answer that? You mean we can have Jesus and not be filled with Jesus? Can we have the Spirit and not be filled with the Spirit? Yes. Christ can be in us and not fully formed in us. It's related to our faith. See, unless Jesus Christ is fully formed in us, we will continue to lose our spiritual sense of gravity. Okay, but when our inner man is full of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, then his grace and power counteracts the forces of temptation and the weakness of our sinful nature. Let's say I'm being drawn away. Something's tempting me, or something has happened to me, and I'm suddenly emotionally weak. My mind is racing, and I'm tottering this way. A fully formed Christ inside of us will keep us steady, keep us from losing our balance and falling in a way that hurts ourselves or hurt someone else. But that is only if Christ is fully formed in us. Okay, so the capacity of our faith. The capacity of our faith affects our ability to utilize his power. Power's there, right? We talked about capacity last week. The fact that Jesus Christ and all of his power is available to us does not mean we have developed the capacity to fully utilize what is available. What would Jesus say often? Be it done unto you according to your faith. In other words, he's saying according to your capacity. All things are possible to him who believes. But when the disciples gave into fear or when they panicked, what would Jesus say to them? Where is your faith? Or what would he say? Oh, ye of... See? You can have little faith or weak faith or be without faith. And it will directly affect our ability to fully utilize and draw upon the spiritual power of Christ. Our faith must be developed. Our capacity of faith must be developed. And the more our faith is developed, the more of the power of Christ will be fully formed in us. And our spiritual center of gravity will become stronger and stronger. Okay, we can get rocked by waves. Right? You know that? I don't have to tell you that. You get rocked. You know, in a prize fight, in a boxing match, you don't have to win every round. Do you? Mm-mm. You can lose 3 or 4. Right? And then you can figure out what... And sometimes you can hardly see the other opponent. If it kind of rocks your bell, stagger you. What do you want to do? You just cling. Just don't hit me anymore. Sometimes, hey guys, I'm a pastor. You may not realize it, but sometimes I'm just holding on to Jesus. Lord, help, hold me up on my feet a minute here. You know what happens? We're not all supermen. But Christ is there. Okay, you can get rocked. You're going to get rocked. You're going to get knocked around by Satan. But Jesus keeps us, okay? He keeps us. He won't let us fall. He won't let us fall. Because he's our spiritual balance and he needs to be our center of gravity. Okay. Let me tell you that why it's not automatic. I thought I had this slide and I might have and I may have passed right over it, but that's all right. If I didn't, let me tell you why I know that it's not automatic. In the book of Galatians, Paul writing to the church of Galatia, a group of believers who had started off strong in Christ and living by the Spirit, but had gotten away from it. And Paul heard about it, heard about the things that were going on, and he wrote, this is one part of his letter he wrote to him. He said, my dear children, I'm very distressed. I feel like I'm a mother once again in the pain of childbirth until Christ be formed in you. It's writing to Christians. Saying that Christ wasn't fully formed in them. And he could tell by the way they were being affected by outside influences that had come to the church. That's why we know it's not automatic. We have to learn to respond to trials. Okay. And you know what you'll notice at first? Usually it's progression. It's very much like little children, like the stage of child growth. When an infant goes from laying there to sitting up to crawling, then what usually follows crawling? What do they begin to do? They pull up, right? And they're holding on to something and they're taking some steps. But if they let go, what happens? Boom, down they're gone, okay? But we know that they're getting close. And pretty soon they get confident enough to let go and they take a few steps. And they're pretty unstable, aren't they? They all got big heads. They're pretty unstable. And they're top heavy. And they fall. But what do we say? Oh! I mean, we clap. They've only taken a few steps, but we're all happy. Because they're beginning to walk. And what happens? They begin to fall less and less. They get more and more stable. At first, if they get off on uneven ground, you ever seen that happen? You know, they run downhill. Boom! You know, You can anticipate it, but then you continue to develop, and even, you know, even on, they get so confident, they scare mom and dad. You know, they've got this. It's to develop. Okay. In the same way, as Christ and the Holy Spirit is formed in us, our walk in Christ gets more and more stable.
Amen.
More and more stable. We get our center, we get our balance. And it's amazing how much a person can develop that balance. How many of you watch the Olympics? Is it amazing what a person who continues to seek balance and agility can do? It's amazing. It's amazing. Spiritually, it's similar. You don't just automatically grow. You don't just automatically get strength. You must progress. The kingdom of God and the righteousness of God is from faith to faith. Stability is the goal. It's not going to be instant, and it's not necessarily always easy, because God has designed trials and temptations to strengthen our faith and ultimately to teach us how to be stable in difficulties. If God in His wisdom, because He can do all, right? Does anyone here believe that God can't do things any way He wants? Okay, I think most of us would agree. So God could have made it so easy for us, we never have it hard at all, couldn't He? Then why didn't He? Why didn't He? If He could, why not just take all the problems out and make us perfect? Why not?
Huh?
Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. We wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't appreciate His help. You know what? We would be like kids who don't really want dad. We just want the car. No, but God designs things to teach us an ever-increasing dependence upon Him. And you know what really happens in stability? We lean more and more upon the power of Christ. As our first response. We don't panic. A lot of times you begin to catch yourself. The second, I caught myself. The first thing I did was panicked, or I gave in to fear, or I got startled. What happens though, through experience, quicker and quicker, you're back. And eventually, you know what will happen? Your first response will be to look to Jesus. Oh, what a sweet time that is. When the first reaction you have in difficulty is to look right at Him. Man. That's when you know, the closer you are to your spiritual center of gravity, the less dizzy you will be. Okay? This is a process that works over time. As Christ becomes fully formed in us, as our faith begins to develop, we draw. It's not that the temptations get any easier. It's not that Satan doesn't try to attack us. It's not that the adversities of life just disappear. It's not that at all. What it is your tendency and training to look to Christ first becomes much more natural. You look to Him first. You lean upon Him first. And it looks to others like you've got this down, like nothing ever bad happens to you. That's not it at all. You live in the same world other people do. The devil wants you just like other people. Trials and temptations are the same. The difference is you're leaning stronger upon the Lord. You stay more centered. Your faith has been developed And that's what happened. So I end with this. Today, we can be stable. Why? Because He's able. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world has sung. My God is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to Him for rest. My God is able to deliver thee. It's one of the things that trials will do. It's just like pressure. When companies want to find out where something is weak, what do? They have a test. What kind of test can you perform to discover where something is weak? What kind of test do they call it? A stress test. You put it under stress to see how much stress it can take. And if what you are testing breaks or gives in a certain area, what does it show? What does it tell you? Does it mean what you've done is a failure? Or is it simply showing you the areas that need to be strengthened? Okay? So the purpose of trials is to show us where we are not yet fully leaning upon the Lord. Where our faith is weak. That's what they're for. And the more we learn by faith to trust in Jesus, we'll experience what Jesus did in a test that shows the difference between His confidence and the confidence of the disciples. Because they were in the very same storm, weren't they? Remember? And what was Jesus doing? They were in the storm and Jesus was in the boat. What was He doing? He was sleeping. So He wasn't aware of what was going on. Now the disciples were aware of what's going on. And you know what? Sometimes that when you communicate with someone, you just think you got to make them aware. Because if you make them aware, they're going to get as alarmed as you are, right? I hope not. Because then you'd have two people. Neither not able to help each other. No. They woke Jesus up and tried to make Him alarmed. Lord, don't you care? We're about to perish. Did He get alarmed? Why not? He was in the very same storm as they were. Why was He not alarmed? Because He knew His Father was bigger than the storm.
Amen.
See, they didn't know yet that Jesus had more power than the storm. And you know why we panic? Because we still haven't learned that Jesus has more power than the storm we're in. So what did He do? He just stood up and He said, remember what He said? Peace be still. I love the song. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every way, He faithful shall remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul. Thank you, Ken. Okay. Be still, my soul. Your God will undertake to guide the future as He has the path. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious will be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and wind still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall ever be with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored, be still my soul. When change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Let me tie this together with stability. You may not realize it, but in Paul's letter to the church of Thessalonica, he told all the believers there to make it their ambition, to make a certain thing their ambition. And here's what he said to make their ambition. And let me encourage you to make this your ambition. He said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet and tranquil life. And he's not talking about finding a place out there in the country with a nice picket fence where there's no one bothering you. He's talking about make it your ambition to so develop a spiritual sense of gravity, center of gravity, that internally you're tranquil. You're at peace even when everything around you is crazy. That's a testimony, isn't it? And you know what? If we're not stable in a storm, storms tend to do things. Storms tend to knock things about, don't they? And you know when things go flying around, what happens? No one intends for it. The storm caused it. But when things go flying around, they have a possibility of injuring someone. You know what happens when we fly off the handle? When we let the storm to just make us an object that's unhinged, that's come loose. Spiritual stability in Christ is a far more peaceful way to experience Christianity, and it is far safer for everyone else in your life. Because you know what happens? If you find this stability, you know what you become for others? Something safe to hold on to. Right? But if we ourselves have lost our own center of balance, sometimes it happens to my wife. Anna's pretty strong. Sometimes Dina tries to stop Anna and Anna's got a head of steam, and guess what happens? They both. Boom. Mom falls right on top of Anna. Because she didn't have her feet under her well. Okay? So for his sake, for his sake, and for the sake of the other people in our lives, let's let Jesus Christ be fully formed in us. So that our faith is in such a way, it's so dynamic, that we are one of the stable ones that people can lean upon, you know, when things get difficult, okay? We're going to sing a song and ask Brother Eli to come and lead us in a time of...